I am 15 when I meet a boy named Jimmy at the summer arts program. We smoke hash in the graveyard at the far end of the Bennington campus. We dare each other to order margaritas at the local Mexican restaurant. And when we are actually served, share salty kisses over plates of rice and beans. I give him a blowjob in the back of a classroom, and he says he has feelings for me, but he doesn't know what they are. Jimmy is pale and wears eyeliner, and is as close to a boyfriend as I've ever gotten. When he confesses he has a real girlfriend back in New York, I spend a long evening sniffing liquid paper out of a plastic bag, passing out and waking up to the exploding lights in my head. I finally throw up my dinner. I consider cutting off my pinky finger and giving it to him. I'd go to the art studio where they have those paper cutters with 3-foot blades, lop it off, wrap it up. Here, look what you've done to me. You're leaving me and taking me with you. But I like my fingers, even the somewhat useless pinkies. So instead, I make myself bleed, as I've learned to do. The instruments can't be too sharp, or it will go too deep and sever important bits. It can't be so blunt as to be useless. I like the thin, flexible razor blades that can be taken off a disposable plastic shaver, ubiquitous and easy to remove from the plastic casing. I enjoy the slide of metal into giving skin. Each line eases the rage and sharpens the colors of the room. Regular cutting means you have to rotate the areas so as not to overtax the skin too much. Forearm, then wrist, then upper arm, then back to the forearm. After the razor passes over, there's a moment before the blood when the faintest film of clear liquid rises, as though the flesh itself is weeping for you. Then, garnet beads of blood rise and elongate into the thin tracks you've laid between pain and release. I wipe and blot the wounds with the calm patience that always follows the bloodletting and think, I could paint with this. I could write with this. I must have cut a lot, enough blood to fill 5 notebook pages with finger-painted words. Please, don't leave me. I need you. I put the wet pages on the floor to dry. In the morning, the large words are maroon and waxy, with my fingerprints captured at the beginning and end of each letter's stroke. The pages go into an envelope with Jimmy's name, and the letter is placed on his bed in the neighboring dorm. I have known him 2 weeks. After lunch, I am pulled from poetry class by the counselor. In a degree-paneled office, the stack of papers sits on the desk like a thesis I must now defend. The counselor asks me why I'd do such a thing. I cannot explain it. I have no words. Frantic efforts to avoid real or imagined abandonment does not readily come to mind. And if this counselor sees borderline personality disorder, he doesn't say it. He calls my mother. She drives to the campus and they talk. Then she goes back home. I remain at the program, but must agree to check in with the counselor during the last 2 weeks. He gives me back the blood letter, perhaps to remind me that it holds a part of myself that I am always inflicting on others. A part of myself I am always throwing away. Years later, I ask my mother, "What were you thinking when you drove away?" She says, "Adolescence is always difficult. I thought maybe it was just a phase," she says. "I didn't know what to do. The whole thing was overwhelming," she says. "The counselor told me you would be okay." The truth is, I have borderline personality disorder, but it will take many therapists, many diagnoses, many medications, and many treatments before a name is put to this suffering, and I can start down the path to recovery. This is the story of how it happened.